Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I told you we had a great show for you today. Dr. Greg Popcheck this hour. He's one of the hosts of More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, and really a nationally recognized Catholic psychologist. His whole thing is about bringing that clinical expertise and combining it with Catholic faith and helping people, helping families to thrive, helping individuals to thrive. He's the author of really great books, Parenting with Grace. And this is one of my favorite titles of all time. God help me. These people are driving me nuts. He's offering all kinds of practical advice. Dr. Greg Popcheck, thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me, Si. Great to be here.
So maybe with that second book that I mentioned, God help me. These people are driving me nuts. Has some? It might come into the conversation today because I do want to ask you about Lent. We're in the season of Lent. Are there special graces that we might draw on in healing relationships in the family and among friends and spouses? All of that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked that because I think there are. You know, the season of Lent and all the sacrifices, the traditional sacrifices of praying, fasting, charitable works, are really ordered to help us make room to receive more of God's love and then share that love with the people in our lives. You know, we have a tendency to think of Lent or even the spiritual life as doing projects for Jesus, right? Like even during Lent, you know, I'm going to give this up for Jesus. You know, I'm sure he's really going to appreciate my sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we mean well. But
yeah, right.
But you know, I think that we can sometimes lose the main point of those sacrifices, which is, you know, are we cracking our hearts open to receive God's love and share that love with others more? And so we really like it, Catholic counselors, you know, and on More to Life, the radio program we do, we really like to just challenge our listeners and the folks who engage with our ministry to use this season of Lent to ask God how he wants to crack open their hearts so that we can all relate more in a deeper, healthier, holier way with our spouse, with our kids, with the people that we interact with throughout the day, because that's what really building the kingdom of God is about. I think one of the genius insights from St. John Paul was that building the kingdom of God isn't so much about doing big projects for Jesus, you know. Yeah. It's much more about working to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships with each other. And so the grace of Lent is really all about building that communion with God and with each other. And so I think if we're looking for sacrifices to make during Lent, one of the first and most important sacrifices that we can engage in is sacrificing our comfort zone for the sake of loving our spouse, our children, and the other people in our life a little bit better. Because we all love our comfort zones more than we love each other.
And yeah, the boy, whole that's point, the truth.
Right? And you know, the funny thing is, like, I'll even give up things that I'm comfortable giving up that are within my comfort zone. Well, I'm going to give up chocolate because that's not too much of a risk for me. I mean, it's not pleasant, but it's not a risk, you know. Or I'll give up this thing or that thing. And they're all fine. I'm not knocking any of that. But at the end of the day, those are all things I'm comfortable giving up, right? But what if we gave if I was willing to love my wife more than my comfort zone? And then she asks me to do something for her or give her something that's outside that comfort zone. It's not immoral. It's not demeaning. It's just not me, right?
Right.
We all have this tendency to just kind of like do, well, you know, honey, you know who I was when you married me, and that's not really my thing. And I'm just going to keep loving you the way I'm comfortable loving you. That totally misses the point, right? So Lent is that opportunity to give that up, to say, you know what, less of me and more of God's love, and let me listen to how God is speaking to me through the people in my life, the people that God has placed in my life, my spouse, my kids, the others, and how can I love them better?
What a beautiful way to think about Lent as contiguous, I guess, with this whole Christian movement of loving the other more than I love my own comfort. That's also a beautiful image. Like, it's very hard to love someone else more than you love your own comfort. I mean, that's why why comfort is comfortable. That's why they call it that.
Exactly. Well, and that's okay. So, you know, we use that big word mortification. Mortification is really about getting over our comfort zone. Right. But it's not just getting over our comfort zone because Catholics like to suffer. It's getting over our comfort zone so that we can love better, so that we can receive more of God's love, so we can return that love to God, so that we can love the people in our lives the way God wants us to. And we can kind of break free of that tendency to just love the way I want to. And so we mortify ourselves by sacrificing that comfort zone and learning to love people the way they need to be loved instead of just the way I want to love them.
The number here is 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest. And here's what's going to happen. It happens every time he's on. People hear him answer the first call and they're like, oh, I got to talk to him. Well, so let me tell you now, just start dialing. Don't wait until the end. Don't wait until you hear that first call be a success and then be trusting. Trust me, you're going to want to talk to him. If you need help with a family relationship, a work relationship, romantic relationship, 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. So help me with the how I access these graces, because it's fun. Like there is the thing about getting out of my comfort zone, but I don't think as Catholics we look at it as, and that's what fixes a relationship. I think we need God in all of this. We do need him to be our help and our hope in all of this. So there's a part for me to do in these relationships, but how does it become a relationship that's open to the grace of God?
Okay, well, so the first step, and let's just use the traditional practices of Lent, you know, prayer, okay, fasting, and, you know, almsgiving, but charitable works, right? So prayer, right, fasting, charity. Number one, prayer. I know, for example, I love my wife, right? I have feelings of love for her, but I don't know how to love her the way she needs to be loved. I love her with my broken human love, but that's often not enough. And a lot of times when I try to be loving, I mess it up and I do things that don't come off well, right? So I especially don't know how to love her the way God wants me to, right? So the first thing I need to be doing with all of my relationships, when I'm using my marriage as an example, is when I wake up every day saying, okay, God, teach me how to love my wife the way you want me to love her. Teach me how to love her the way she deserves to be loved as your beautiful daughter. Help me be the husband, right, the man that you want me to be. You know, I'm praying that God would crack open my heart so that I could receive the love that he wants to give her through me. I could do that with my kids. You know, Lord, help me be the dad my kids need me to be today. You know, I'm tired. You know, there's the dad I want to be, or the dad I have the energy to be. And then there's the dad that they need me to be, and the dad that you want me to be. Help me bridge that gap somehow with your grace, right? I'm bringing my very real limitations and my very real struggles to God in prayer, and I'm asking him to supply the grace to fill the gap. And give me that extra oomph, if you will, that to build on my nature, as St. Thomas Aquinas put it, to not the oomph part, but the building on my nature part, you know, so that I can be more of the man that God needs me to be for these people he's placed in my life. So that's prayer. Fasting, you know, again, it's mortification, and which brings us back to that whole idea of sacrificing my comfort zone for the sake of love, looking for the ways that I say no to my wife, to my kids, to the other people in my life, not because it's inappropriate for me to say yes, but just because I don't feel like it, you know, just because that's not me. You know, I think it's really helpful to recognize, especially when it comes to my spouse or our spouse and our kids, that God gave us the spouse and the kids that we need to grow in ways that we wouldn't grow had he not given those people to us. Right. You know, God stuck you with your spouse, not just because he has a warped sense of humor, but because by responding to the needs that your spouse has, you're going to grow in ways that you never grow if you were left to your own devices. And so when Lisa asks me, you know, to help her with this or to support her in that or to walk with her in these ways, you know, a lot of times that's asking me to do stuff that doesn't come naturally to me, yeah, and maybe that I wouldn't want to do. But I'm going to fast my comfort. I'm going to mortify myself, right, and challenge myself through that prayer that I was talking about just a minute ago to do more, to allow myself to be stretched in ways that God wants me to be stretched, not just the ways that I'm comfortable giving up things or comfortable stretching, but the ways that I maybe don't want to stretch, but my wife, yep, needs me to, and God is asking me to through my wife or through my kids or through my mom or through whoever else is in my life, and then charity. The third practice in Lent is all about working for the good of others, right? So whether that's giving alms or whether that's looking for ways that I can make a difference in the life of the people around me, you know, when I was a Boy Scout, one of the rules was, you know, you always leave your campsite better than you found it. Well, I like to apply that to the people in my life. How can I leave the people better than I found them? You know, so when I walk through a room, you know, can I do something to leave the room better than I found it? Okay, when I see my wife, can I do something to leave her feeling better than I found her? When I'm with my kids, can I do something to leave them a little better than I found them? With anybody, right?
Right.
And so, you know, that's that charitable. That's in big and small ways. I'm practicing charity throughout the day, and I'm cooperating with the graces of Lent through prayer and fasting and charity to really grow in that capacity to love others as God wants me to.
888-318-7884 is the number. Dr. Greg Popcheck is here. One of the great ones. And if you've got questions on your own particular relationships, maybe a particular relationship, that it could include your relationship with God. If you need help with that, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. I would like to do this when we come back, Dr. Popcheck, and that is like, you say all of it's quite beautiful what you've said, and I can't remember a time I've talked with you and I haven't learned something, but I do hear the person who's like, yeah, but that's not me. I'm not that person. I'm not the I can't get out of my comfort zone person. I'm the I can't say no person. I'm the I can't set a boundary person. So I'm not saying that about myself. I'm very good at saying no or just falling asleep. Ask me to do something. You might find me asleep later. But I do want to get at that. Okay, but help me set good, healthy boundaries. Or maybe that's something a Christian doesn't do. Maybe a Christian has no boundaries at all. I know that's not the answer, but I'm throwing that out there as a possibility. We'll take a quick break. Dr. Greg Popcheck is our guest. 888-318-7884.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
This month, EWTN Radio prepares you for Lent with Father Benedict Rochelle's daily Lenten meditations, Lenten reflections from priests across England, and of course, Catholic Radio's premier shows featuring Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, The Daily Mass, Open Line with Father John Trigilio, and more. EWTN Radio, your source of truth that allows Catholics to grow in their faith and recognize the true mission of the Catholic Church.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Want to talk about getting healthy in your relationships and doing so in a way that is consistent with, and not just consistent with, but draws upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus and the wisdom that we have in the Scripture and in the Church. Well, that's what Dr. Greg Popcheck does. He's got the science side of it down. He's got the faith side of it down. Now he's going to say, oh, "I don't have a. I'm not saying he's perfect on both of these things, but it's in the combining of these two things."
I said I was perfect, Lisa. I mean, I'm going to tell my wife you said I was perfect. It's on the podcast. Right. You can check it out.
will value my opinion as much as she has always valued my opinion on this. Probably.
I'm sure she will.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. But help me with the setting boundaries thing, because I do hear about the setting boundaries thing. And I know my wife, she's always like at least a few months ahead of me. And I remember the time in our relationship where I realized she had learned the phrase, well, here's what I can do. I was like, oh, yep. No, I'm doomed. She's got a phrase that she could use on me. But it was wonderful. It was wonderfully healthy for our relationship.
Yeah. You know, in fact, we recommend that all the time. So let's talk about why it's okay for Christians to set boundaries in the first place, and then talk about how to set boundaries charitably.
Okay.
And this is something I go into more in the book you mentioned before, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is really kind of our Catholic boundaries book, right? But so to love somebody is to work for their good. right? And so if I don't know how to say no, then I'm going to tend to fall prey to being, quote unquote, loving in ways that aren't always good for somebody. Right. You know, so yeah. In the document Deus Caritas Est, Pope Benedict talked about how love has to respect the truth as well. And St. John Paul talked about love and responsibility, that they have to go hand in hand. Right. So in other words, if without responsibility or without that true orientation toward working to somebody's ultimate good, then love becomes sentimentality. Where I feel bad, so I do whatever I can do to make myself or you feel better. But let's say I'm talking to somebody who's an easy example, an addict. You know, and if I don't want them to feel bad, so I'm going to clean up all their messes and I'm going to make excuses for them and I'm not working for their ultimate good. I'm enabling them. I'm covering for them, right? I'm not actually loving them. I'm participating in their destruction, right? So that kind of love is not responsible. Let's take generic example, or more common example. Somebody asks me to do something that's perfectly fine to do. Let's say volunteer at the parish. But in order to do that, I need to disappoint my wife and something that I promised her or a commitment that I've made for her and the kids. Well, I have to say no to that in order to be loving to my wife and to my kids. You know, so love has to be responsible in order for it to be loving. Love has to be ordered toward the ultimate good of the other person in order for it to be loving. And if I can't set boundaries, then I tend not to be actually loving in the sense of working for somebody's good. I tend to be loving in the sense of sentimentality. I feel bad, so I want to feel less bad, so I do this thing, whether it's good for you or not.
Yeah.
And that's where we get into trouble. So to go to your story about your wife saying, well, here's what I can do. You know, when I like to encourage people to, when it comes to setting boundaries, not negotiate the what, but negotiate the how and the when. Right. So you come to me and you ask me for help. Hey Greg, could you help me do thus and such on, you know, whatever, Thursday evening? And I can say, well, Si, you know, I would love. So I'm gonna affirm your what. I would love to be able to help you. Here's what I could do. I could do it at this time. I could do it in this way. I just can't do it on Thursday, or I can't do it at that time on Thursday. But here's. So I'm giving you a way I could do something that's trying to meet the need that you brought to me. And now it's up to you to decide whether that's okay or not.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest way to set a boundary with somebody, just to be able to, I really want to be able to do this for you. Here's how I could do that. Or
right.
Here's what I could do. How is that for you? And then you can decide whether you want to take me up on that or not.
Wonderful. Yes. That very, very helpful. I want to say the name of the book again. God Help Me. These People Are Driving Me Nuts. It's just one of Dr. Greg Popcheck's many books, but one that will be very helpful to you if today's conversation is one that is of interest to you. I want to go to the phones. Is that okay with you, Greg, if
yeah,
we go to the phones now? All right, let's go to Linda in San Antonio, Texas, listening, of course, on the Guadalupe Radio Network in San Antonio. Awful glad to have you here, Linda. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
Hi, doctor. Okay, so I have your books, the marriage one, which I'm currently reading, and the How to Have the Difficult Conversation with Your Adult Children, and that's mm-hmm. the issue that I'm calling about today. I have a 22-year-old son who is living with us out of need, not out of desire, and he's going to university. And he just does not want to be with us. He doesn't respect us. And he's like really pushing the boundaries. And the issue is that my husband really takes a lot of stuff off of him, which I don't think is helpful to him. I, like your previous call, I think it's enabling him. And, mm-hmm. Just an example that I was telling the call screener is that it's always been our tradition to have, you know, dinner at the table. The other meals of the day, you know, it's a little more, you know, it's
yeah,
it's
free willing
because of, you know, school schedules and things like that. So, but dinner, it's like sacrosanct. You know, and mm-hmm. So, like, I'll make the dinner, and he wants to take it and go eat in his room. And I said, no. And so he's left his food. And so I thought I made that clear. And then, you know, fast forward a week and he's like staying at his girlfriend's house, which we don't approve of. But anyway, so we'll see him, like, you know, he'll be gone for 4 days, then he'll come back. And, you know, I have dinner at the table. So I thought the expectation was made clear. And then he picks up his plate and I'm like, no, please join us. You know, I'm not trying to be difficult, but I made the expectation clear. And he's like, I don't want to.
Now, can I ask you, Linda, let me ask you a question, because you slipped in something earlier about your husband saying that your husband kind of lets him off the hook for a lot of things. Are you and your husband kind of at odds for how to handle all this, or would he agree with you, say, with the dinner table thing?
Well, he agrees with me, but then he doesn't follow through on certain things. Like, originally, before it got this bad, you know, we gave him a couple of, like, you know, these are the things that we want you to do. You know, we go to mass as a family and no sleepovers and things like that. Well, then he went ahead and like not went with a, you know, not, he didn't go to mass.
And do you have other kids at home too?
But I know that you think that that's okay. I'm sorry?
Do you have other kids at home too?
I have one younger. Yes.
Okay. 20-year-old. Yeah. All right. So let me kind of back it up, and because you said that, you know, he doesn't want to be around you. What's the issue there? What's do you know what his, you know, beef is with you guys?
Yeah, I. But here I think there's a little bit of gaslighting going on. He claims that I did not like deal with his issue of bullying in junior high. And when he did tell me of it, I talked to the counselor, and then I heard.
Well, okay, so this is that would have been like 7 years ago, right? So why is this coming up now? Like, what is he?
I don't know. This is the thing. I think he's looking for an excuse to.
Okay. So here's what I would say to this. I think, all right, I would say to him, look, everything you're doing, the leaving the table, the not coming to mass, the going to your girlfriend's house, just all the stuff that you're doing it because you know it's going to aggravate us. You know it's going to irritate me in particular, which says to me that you're mad at me about a bunch of stuff. And I'd really like to understand what that is. And it's not about this. It's not about junior high, because that was 7 years ago. There's something going on. And if it was, then there's something going on now that's making you think about that. But all this kind of like passive aggressive stuff, it's beneath you. And I love you too much to let you get away with this. So we're going to work through this stuff. If we can't work through it together, I'm going to sign us up for counseling. We're going to go to counseling together. But I can't put up with you taking out your anger on us like this. I'm happy to hear whatever it is you have to say. I'm happy to help you figure out how to say it. I'm happy to work through it with you, whether it's on our own or, you know, going to see somebody, but I can't let this stand, because Linda, it's not really about the rules, right? It's not really about having him sit at the table. It's not really about, you know, having him just go to mass to make you happy. It's about the attitude behind all of that, and the sign of that it's a broken relationship. And so I think really kind of cutting to the heart of that and saying, I've let this go on too long, and we have to deal with this issue at the heart of it. And if you can't figure out how to articulate that, then we'll either talk through it together or we'll go talk to somebody. But I can't let you be this person who's taking advantage of us, who is just being angry all the time, who's showing that anger in really passive aggressive and immature ways. You are a good and beautiful young man, and I want to help you be able to deal with these issues in a direct way. And I want to work through that with you. So let's figure that out. Right. So he's not going to want to do any of that. Right, you're going to have to force the issue, but I think that's a hill. That's the hill worth dying on. All these other little proxy fights, like, you know, the dinner time, those are important, but they're missing the larger point. So yeah, by all means, enforce him sitting at the table, insist that he go to mass, but really, he's not going to do any of that stuff until this deeper heart issue is addressed. So, and if he won't address it with you directly, then, you know, insist that as a condition of continuing to stay at the house, you need to go talk to somebody to work on your relationship. But that's where we really need to be focusing on. What is this anger that he has and how to get him to express that and work through it together with you appropriately.
Okay, I'll try. I don't think he'll want to, and I'm not sure that my husband will force it, but I'll pray about it.
Well, look, okay, so that's the other issue, right? So if your husband won't back you up, then part of this could be a marriage issue too, right? So because sometimes kids will rebel because they want their parents to get their stuff together. Right. And I'm not saying that's for sure, but sometimes, you know, kids will create a drama in the hopes that if I just create bigger and bigger problems, finally mom and dad will be on the same page. Now, that rarely works, but that's sometimes the hidden intention there. So if you're not able to make this happen on your own, either way, I'd really encourage you to reach out. If it's somebody local you trust, great. If you'd like to work with us, I'd love for you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. I'll hook you up with one of my team members and we'll be able to work you through this. But give it a shot on your own. And if you find that you're not making any traction, then reach out to us. And even if you're the only one working on it, we'll help you get the rest of the way.
Linda, thank you so much for the call. It sounds like that was at least the beginnings of help for you. I didn't mention CatholicCounselors.com in the first half hour. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. 888-318-7884.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the Church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the Church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
The Stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest. Perfect opportunity for you to get in because there are lines open, which usually doesn't happen in the morning when you hear Dr. Greg and Lisa. They just call after call after call. So this is a good time to get your question in about healing in the family, healing the marriage, whatever the relationships are, 888-318-7884. We mentioned Dr. Greg Popcheck's books, including God Help Me. And I have to say it like that because there is an actual exclamation point in the title. These people are driving me nuts, and it's the longest title too. But you get the idea that God has help for you in relationships. He'll help us. But you mentioned to the woman who Linda that was just on the line about Catholic counselors. Say something about that because I never got to it in the first half of the show.
Sure. So CatholicCounselors.com is our Catholic pastoral counseling practice, and so I have a team of 20 full-time pastoral counselors, and we have clients all over the world where we really help people deal with emotional, relational, spiritual, and other problems. in a way that allows them to not just overcome the challenges, but also live as more intentional disciples of Christ. And so all of our team are trained mental health professionals, but they have additional postgraduate training in pastoral theology and really helping people integrate Catholic spirituality and Catholic practices into and Catholic insights into the work that we do. So, you know, our goal is to really help people live a more abundant life and really approach the challenges that they're facing in the most faithful way possible. And so we're very blessed to be able to do. In fact, last year we did 30,000 sessions with individuals, holy couples, smokes, and families around the world.
Wow!
Yeah. So if folks would like to learn more, they can go to CatholicCounselors.com.
Do go there, CatholicCounselors.com. Ivan is right here in San Diego listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Glad you're here, Ivan. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
Hi, Dr. Greg. I have one of your books, the Beatitude. The Beatitude.
Beatitudes, yeah. We were just talking about that before the show.
Yes, and my question is kind of piggybacks off the last caller. I do have a 22-year-old son who I think is dealing with alcohol and drug issues. He moved back into my home after spending a few years living at his grandparents' home. I think the reason he went over there, he was trying to get away from the boundaries I was trying to establish here at the home for him. And he ended up coming back. I gave him a certain time to take some action to, you know, deal with his issues, and he had to come through. But I spent a lot of time away from home because of my work or other activities I have going on, and he seems to come back when I'm not here, right? When I asked him, the last time I spoke to him, he had been gone a few days, and I told him I couldn't come back anymore, leave me the key to the house. And unless he wanted to do something about his problem, then I'd be able to help him. But I left for the weekend, and when I was gone, he came here, and he brought a girl over, too. And I can see that because I have security cameras. And so, but sometimes I go, so he's one of my two oldest kids that were born from a failed marriage. And so I guess my issue is, where's the boundary for me, right? When is it time to, sometimes I feel like making this decision is kind of cruel, right? So I guess, why do I have...
So let me ask you, so when you say alcohol and drugs, like, could you describe, like, when you take drugs, what kind of drugs are we talking about, just so I have a sense of,
marijuana
kind of issues?
And alcohol, marijuana, definitely. And probably maybe even like a cocaine.
Okay. And how is this affecting his life? I mean, is he unable to get a job, or is kind of a functional alcoholic, a functional drug user? What's the situation
he's
there?
He's unable to keep a job. He's able to get them, but he doesn't keep them. And then there's been two or three occasions where he's run out of money and he's used debit cards that belong to his grandparents or that he doesn't have, that he grabbed for certain way and he runs up their cards.
Okay. All right. So, you know, you said, you know, you don't want to be cruel, and then sometimes setting these boundaries can feel kind of cruel. Here's how I would suggest setting it. And you're kind of doing this. But I would say, all right, look, you can stay here as long as you are doing X, Y, and Z. So, for example, as long as you are going to an AA group, right? As long as you are going to some kind of drug and alcohol counseling, as long as you are, you know, maintaining your sobriety, as long as, you know, whatever, you certain standards, and also things that you need to do to contribute to the household, right? You can be here as long as you can do those things. Now, it's your choice. If you don't want to do those things, I can't make you do those things, but you can't stay here. But that's the price, and it's his choice right now, because you're going to say, well, I'm going to have to throw him out, right? Well, yeah, probably. But you need to look at this as I'm giving him an invitation to have a healthier life and have a healthier relationship with me. And in order to do those things, you know, in order to get there, he would need to do these things. And if he was doing those things, I would support him because he's making healthy choices. And I want to encourage that. But if he's making unhealthy choices, I can't participate in him flushing his life down the toilet. right? I can't participate in him destroying himself. So I have to set that boundary, because that's the thing that presents the wake-up call to him that says, look, I love you too much to let you continue doing this. So it can feel cruel and it can feel hard, but sometimes loving somebody means doing that hard thing of saying, look, I love you too much to let you keep doing this to yourself and taking advantage of me. And so it's not I'm throwing you out. It's you can stay here as long as you can do these things. If you're not doing these things, I'm taking the key. I'm changing the locks. I'm not letting you back in. And if you break into the house, I'm calling the police on you. You know, and it sounds awful. I mean, no parent wants to be in that position. But that's really what you have to do when you're dealing with somebody who has a drug and alcohol problem. Because the thing is, addictions are a problem for everybody else except the addict, right? For them, it's the solution. Right? I don't know how to deal with life. I don't know how to express my feelings. I don't know how to deal with conflict or achieve my goals or find my place. And so I'm going to drink instead, or I'm going to use drugs instead. That's my solution. So when you tell me stop drinking and stop drugging, you're trying to take my solution away from me. Oh. So the problem with dealing with addictions, that's why addicts have to hit bottom, because until it's a problem for them, they don't want to do anything about it, because for them, it's their solution. It's a problem for everybody else. So you have to make it a problem for him in order for him to be willing to address it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you, Ivan.
God bless you. I've added you to my prayer intentions list too, Ivan, because this is a horrible place for a parent to have to be. But I'm praying that God would give you the courage to really love your son the way he needs to be loved, to be a healthy and godly young man. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Greg. Bye.
The number here is 888-318-7884. If there's some healing needed in the family, in the marriage, in whatever relationship matters to you, you are welcome to call with your questions. Dr. Greg Popchek is our guest. CatholicCounselors.com is his website. You can hear him mornings on EWTN, More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchek. And he's got lots and lots of books. The one I've been pointing to today, God help me, these people are driving me nuts. And it's about learning how to deal with the difficulties of people like me, you know,
like all of us, right?
People who make go ahead.
I was just going to say, earlier I was talking about the difference between sentimentality and love. And I think Ivan's call is a perfect example of that. Right. So, you know, as a parent, you don't want to be mean to your kid. You don't want to say you can't live here anymore. That's a horrible thing for a parent to have to say. Right. But if I give into that temptation, especially if my son is abusing alcohol and abusing drugs, then I'm not really loving my son. I'm that sentimentality. I'm doing something to try to make myself feel better, to make him feel not so bad, but I'm not really working for his ultimate good. And so, you know, in this situation, you know, Ivan's willing to do it. He just needed the kind of the encouragement. But in this situation, loving somebody means, look, I got to make this a problem because you're not seeing the problem that it is. And I love you too much to let you keep pretending that this isn't a problem. And that can make us feel really mean. It can make us feel cruel. And other people will say, I thought you were Christian. How dare you treat me like that? But as long as what we're doing is really ordered to the ultimate good of that person, we need to do that, even when it's hard. And that's, by the way, that's what the Catholic idea of redemptive suffering is. Okay. So redemptive suffering is the suffering that I endure as I'm working to address injustice or resolve an unhealthy situation, right? So, you know, like if I have a problem with you, Cy, right? I would never have a problem with you. But if I have a problem with you,
not that I would tell you about anyway.
Yeah. Well, and I let's say I don't tell you about it. I don't talk about it. I just pretend that everything's fine. Now I'm going to suffer, right?
Right.
Because I'm not addressing the problem. But that suffering isn't redemptive because it's not helping me be a healthier, stronger, godlier person. It's not helping you be a healthier, stronger, godlier person. It's not healing our relationship. But if I come to you and I say, hey, Cy, look, I love you, man, but there's, we got to talk about this. Now that's suffering. I don't want to do that. That makes me feel vulnerable. That's uncomfortable. That's painful for both of us. But that suffering is redemptive because it's bringing out virtues in me that are making me stronger, more honest and truthful. It's bringing out virtue in you and challenging you to grow in ways. It's healing our relationship and making it a healthier, godlier relationship. So that suffering is redemptive. And so when we love in ways that ultimately work for the other person's good, even when that's hard, there is suffering involved, but that suffering is redemptive. But if we don't work for that person's good, we're going to suffer anyway. It's just not going to do anybody any good.
What about, if I may, just before we have to take the break, I think parents are terrified sometimes to do that because they are afraid they will lose the child, either lose the child just in the simple sense that the child will not talk to them anymore, but also that kid could die. You know, that kid's using drugs. That kid could die out there. So I think there is a kind of terror that comes with setting these boundaries sometimes.
Absolutely. But the thing you need to know is if you don't set the boundaries, it's not going to avoid the nightmare, right? You know, especially if a kid is using drugs and alcohol, if you keep just being nice to them, if you just keep hoping that if I just give him another day, it'll alter. If you keep doing that, they're going to drink and drug themselves to death for sure. Right. Yeah. You're going to lose them.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true. If we let our kids keep taking advantage of us, we're going to lose them that way, too. You know, it's the only way we can save those relationships sometimes is by setting those boundaries and being willing to say, look, I love you enough to let you go if that's what you choose. But I will always be here for you, because that's what God does with us. Right. Uh-huh. That's how God loves us so much that he's willing to let us choose to walk away from him. He doesn't say, oh, wait, I didn't really mean it. Come back. You know, his heart breaks. His heart breaks, but he loves us enough to let us make that choice to walk away, knowing that the second that we want to come back, he will be there. And that's our pattern. That's our model as well. And that's the only kind of love that works.
Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest, you are welcome to call if there is healing in the family that you'd like to get some help or advice with, 888-318-7884. Maria in Washington, we'll get to you first when we come back, and whoever calls next, we'll get to you second, 888-318-7884.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Church Pop takes a fresh and fun look at the news shaping our world, featuring engaging, inspiring, and informative Catholic social media content. Find it on Snapchat, Instagram, and on the web at churchpop.com. And you can get Church Pop emailed directly to your inbox. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I knew y'all were going to do this. Now you're all calling, right? Because you figured out, I got to talk to Dr. Greg about what's going on in my family. Well, you're welcome here. We'll do our very best to get you on, 888-318-7884. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest on the line is Marie in Olympia, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Marie, I'm so glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
I was reluctant to call in, but I am taking a first step.
Okay.
I've lost in death most of my best friends. One last December, 49 years of being my friend. I've lost several other friends in my life, long-term friends that were significant. One was a counselor at the college, my best friend, and I could go on. And lost my cat of 22 years, and I'm going through so much grief, losing the best of my friends. The grief is just, my life is so empty without these significant people. And grief regarding my daughter and my three grandchildren, they're estranged for a long story. They don't want to talk to me much. And I've done everything to love them, So my question and concern, of course, I have fear interwoven with my grief because I'm getting old and I have a lot of health issues. And I'm not able to really process these losses. I was the youngest person in the last two churches I've been in over the years. And all my best friends that weren't my best friends, everybody's dead, except maybe one or two. And I'm just needing some advice on how to move forward in these seasons of life, of loss, of aloneness. And my brother had septic and COVID 4 months ago, and he tried dying three times, and he's been ill again and surgery again. I'm just overwhelmed with.
Marie, I'm so sorry that you're going through all this. Can I ask you a question? How have you been praying about all of this?
I've been praying that I pray all the time.
But can you tell me a little bit more about how?
The Lord. Yeah, I ask God for wisdom, guidance, and direction according to God's word, trusting in Him, and He will guide my path. I ask Him for the right counselor or health coach or coach. I pray, and I've asked the Lord significantly in the last 48 hours, okay, Lord, what kind? I know I get healing from His Spirit, from the Word of God, from praying with others, from listening to Mass every day, all those things, but I have been asking Him, who could I really maybe talk to process and to move forward? And then I had the nerve to call in tonight, so I think...
Well, praise God. I'm glad you responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and called in. So let me offer a few thoughts and then give you some things, other things to pray about. The reason I asked you how you pray about this is because a lot of times when we're in real pain and real agony, we're afraid to be that honest with God. And it sounds like you've been more direct with Him, but I just want to encourage you to not be afraid to beat on His chest. To not be afraid to say, if you're angry, how angry you are, how lonely you are, how heartbroken you are, to really just lay it all out for Him, because He wants to hear that. And very often, that's how He gets into the deepest parts of our heart, if we can just be that honest in our prayer with Him and let Him know how much we're hurting and even how angry we are at Him for letting us go through all these things. He's a big enough God to take all that. And sometimes we're afraid to be that honest with Him, but it's in that honesty and vulnerability that He can do some of His best work, because that's where the grace seeps into the deepest parts of our heart. I'll throw out another thing here. When we talk about grieving, first of all, I want you to take whatever time you need to grieve and not feel like you have to rush yourself through it or not criticize yourself for grieving. These are very sad things, the significant losses that you face. This is very, very painful. And we were not created for death. We grieve death because we weren't meant for it at the beginning. And so there's a part of us that still recognizes that this is a great injustice, and we grieve that. But I want you to realize that the grieving, and I don't love using this term, but there's no better way to put it, really, to successfully grieve, quote unquote, means not that I've let the person go, but I found healthy ways to stay connected to the person who's gone. So I'll give an example. You know, when my father passed, there are tangible ways that I hold on to him. So, for example, I have a shoe shine kit, and I shine my shoes with his shoe shine kit, and I think about it when I smell the wax, and I, you know, or every time I'm doing a household project, I ask him to pray for me because he was really a lot better at that stuff than I am, and you know, and I'll talk to him, you know, whenever I'm, you know, struggling to be the husband that my wife needs me to be, or the dad my kids need to be, I'll ask him to pray for me. And I'll talk to him about that. I'm choking up as I'm doing it. But I found ways to stay connected to him and to feel close to him, because I, as a Catholic, I do believe that those who are asleep in Christ are in some ways even more alive than we are. And so I want to take full advantage of that. How everybody stays connected or finds a connection, a healthy connection with those people who have passed, that's very personal and that's very unique to you. But if you begin praying about that, Lord, how can I stay connected to these people? What do you want me to take from their lives? Another way to stay connected, for example, is what did they stand for? What were the virtues or the qualities, the things I learned from them that I want to hold on to and integrate into my life? So those kinds of things can all be helpful. In terms of reaching out, I think you've heard Cy mention CatholicCounselors.com a few times. One of the things I would like you to pray about is whether we might be a good fit. And if you would like to reach out to our team at CatholicCounselors.com to help you find faithful ways to process this grief and find ways to stay connected to the people that you've lost, but also to continue to find meaning in your life and perhaps even reconciliation with your daughter and grandchildren, even in the face of the very real limitations that you're experiencing with your health. There's a lot, I think, that we can do to talk you through this and help you process it and come out in a way that allows you to really feel God's presence and have a sense of direction, even through these difficult times. So there aren't easy answers. I can't give you a five-step way to leave all this go, but I can promise you that there are ways through this and that God does have answers for you. And I'd love to play a role in making that happen for you if you'd like.
I would love it too. I'd love to hear you and your wife on the radio. I think it's one of the mornings. I think it's over the weekend. I can't remember which morning.
We're on it. In your area, we'd be on every morning at 7 a.m. It's 10 Eastern, yeah, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, I've enjoyed and appreciated both of you. And I've always felt drawn for some reason to the two of you.
Thank you.
So I'm blessed that you took my call. I'm blessed that you were there today because I've been really hurting really deeply. I start crying. Because my brother is still going through health issues, and I didn't know where to turn. Because all my friend, the psychologist, she died, and my other friend, everybody's gone. I don't know.
Well, Maria, I want to thank you so much for those kind words. And if you would let us walk with you through this, I would be very grateful for that. So if you'd like to learn more, go to CatholicCounselors.com. Just keep praying about it. But you can even start walking through some of the steps that I've given you on the call and just even start there. But bringing that honestly, your grief honestly to God, really beating on his chest, asking him how he wants you to process this. And then also looking for ways, how can I stay connected to the people who I've lost? What are healthy ways I can really maintain that connection with them? Because especially if they were Christian, they are still very much alive in Christ. And God wants us to cultivate those relationships. And beyond that, if there's something more that we can do to support you through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us, Marie. Thank you so much.
Marie, thank you. Paul in Cocoa Beach, Florida called. He was listening on Divine Mercy Radio, but he didn't stay on the line, but he had a suggestion. do you see the suggestion there?
I do, yeah, that's what I'm laughing.
For folks having trouble with children, turn on EWTN radio casually at home when they are around. What do you think of that suggestion?
There you go. That's right up there with all the wives who leave our marriage books on the toilet tank for their husbands to find. So all that kind of passive evangelization. Sure.
Well, I think Catholic parents have actually been doing that for a long time. In that, they used to leave our Sunday Visitor around, yep. Or I don't know what the publications were in the 19th century, but they would that leave it out there. Somebody might That's pick right. it up. You never know. They get bored one day, and it might change their life. Yeah. I don't know how you casually turn on the radio though. Are most people formally turning on the radio and they?
I always wear tux and tails myself.
Oh, do you? You dress up to turn on the radio.
Okay. Well, it's very important for me.
I see. Dr. Greg Popcheck, our guest, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you, if you can get this, I'm going to give you a quiz right now because Uh-oh. Of Paul's call from Cocoa Beach, Florida. And I'm going to send you Dr. Carla Broussard's book, The Saints Pray for You, if you get this correct. What famous couple on television lived in Cocoa Beach, Florida? Dun, dun,
Ooh.
Dun. Da, da, da,
da. Da, 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 da. I don't know, man.
It's 1960s. Oh, do you know? John's got his hand up in there. Does John want to say? No. Okay. You're not getting the book, John.
John wants the book.
You'll probably be like, I never watched this show. But Jeannie and what's his name?
I Dream of Jeannie?
I Dream of Jeannie. They lived in Cocoa Beach,
Florida. Okay, going back a ways. But sure.
Whenever they went outside, it looked exactly like Southern California for some reason. I'm not exactly sure why Cocoa Beach looked exactly like Southern California. But yes, every time someone calls from Cocoa Beach, Florida, I'm like, oh, it's Jeannie. Dr. Greg Popcheck, tell us where people can find you again, one more time. Go ahead.
CatholicCounselors.com is the name of our practice, and folks can learn more about all the faithful ways that we can help transform folks' marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. And that's CatholicCounselors.com.
It was Tony, wasn't it? Tony, Jeannie and Tony. I think that was the astronaut's name. In any case, you don't even know who I'm... Johnny Versillo, how old are you? 18 years old, and you've never seen I Dream of Jeannie? It's iconic American television.
The U.S. education system has failed us.
And it really has. These kids today, they don't know anything. They don't know anything. Dr. Greg, I'm so grateful that you've been coming on with us. I hope we'll do it again next month. That will do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.